Hello, and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Jeff Coulter, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivener at the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Bazookas in the Spirit, already in progress.
I'm going to make a crazy statement here, but I can back it up from Scripture. It's not God's perfect will to heal you. It is not the perfect will of God to heal you. According to Galatians 3:14, it's God's perfect will that you don't get sick. It's God's perfect will that you walk in divine health. It's also God's will that when you do get sick, that you realize that it's the children's bread health and healing are. Deliverance. Those are the children's bread. That sickness was only ever designed to be a reward for the wicked, Psalm 91 says. God's perfect plan is divine health. Grace, our covenant, includes divine health. Because of what Jesus did, you were healed. Because of the old covenant, Galatians 3:14 says it's now part of our covenant. And then Peter said, because of Jesus' death on the cross, here's proof again, another scripture, confirmed. Healing is ours. The question is, I guess then, why is so much of the church sick? When I started out in the beginning, I mentioned the comment that the church is as sick as the world. According to the Centers for Disease Control, there are more sicknesses popping up all the time. There are mystery sicknesses that the doctors don't have a clue what they are. Sometimes they'll give them a name of a syndrome, or enough people step forward, they know that it's real, but they don't know the origins. They don't understand the sickness. There are more sicknesses even in Christians today, so why are we getting sick? When Jesus said it is finished, it was finished. Okay? He didn't leave anything undone. But if that's not our experience, what gives? Where's the breakdown? Okay, where is it falling through the cracks? How does sickness come upon us? Ephesians 4:27. Paul is in the midst of talking about not having anger, about forgiving, about not going to bed angry. And then right in the middle, he says, and here is a spiritual principle that I want you to remember. And he says it in such a short phrase that people pass right over it. And it says this, and give no place to the devil. Now again, this is New Testament, written to Christians, and give no place to the devil. A lot of the other translations will say, do not give the devil a foothold. So there are things that you and I can do that give the enemy legal right in our lives. There are things that you and I can do, the Bible calls it sin, that give the devil a foothold, a foot in the door in our lives. We are given a command, do not give place to the devil. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples of ways that we do that. When we think of sins, we think of robbing banks, you know, punching people in the nose, taking candy from babies, the serious things. But fear and doubt are sin, according to Scripture. It's 365 times in the Bible, in fact, where it talks about fear. Did you know that? 365 times in the Bible, it mentions fear. Or anxiety, or take no thought for tomorrow, or be anxious for nothing, or fear not, for I'm with you. 365 times. One of the reasons is because fear is literally saying, I believe that the devil has more power to harm me than God does to keep me and protect me. I believe that the devil's power is more than my power that God's given me in the new covenant. I think the devil, accidents, pesticides, GMO foods, high pH balance has more power to affect me than God does to keep me. That's literally what you're saying when you walk in fear and doubt. Did you know that fear is like faith to the devil? Literally, what you believe will happen. If I believe that there's a possibility that I can get sick, I'll get sick. If I believe that there's a possibility that I'm subject to dangers and accidents, then I will be. Because what you believe will happen to you. Job 3:25, Job says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come to me. I want us to take a moment now and look at how do we get to the point where we can live in divine health. We've looked at some of the reasons, you know, why we're not. How do we do it? I want us to turn to a verse. 3 John only has one chapter, so chapter 1, verse 2. He says this, beloved, I wish above all things, so I'm going to stop there, He starts out by saying, okay, this is a big deal. Every scripture in the Word of God is a big deal. But some of them we read over pretty fast. The Holy Spirit, through John, says, okay, listen up. This is a biggie. I'm getting ready to tell you something really important. Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. Interesting thing there, I've read this verse for years and didn't know this. The word soul in the Greek is spelled P-S-Y-C-H-E. They pronounced it psuche in the Greek. We pronounce it psyche. Having to do with our mind, our thoughts, even our emotions, our memories, all of those things, our will. He literally says in this verse, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, your thinking will affect your health and your prosperity. If you think according to the Word of God, you'll prosper and you'll be healthy. If you don't, you won't. Your thinking affects your health. Other places in Scripture where it says that. Proverbs 23:7, part of the verse says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Isaiah 26:3. There's, again, a whole bunch of scriptures in the Word of God that talk about how our thinking affects our health, affects our life, affects our prosperity. But I'm just going to look at a couple. It says this, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, whose mind is focused, whose thoughts are thinking about the Lord. He's going to be in absolute peace. Now, what did we say disease was? The absence of peace. Interesting. You'll keep him in perfect peace, perfect health, no disease, because disease is the absence of peace. You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we live in the world, but we don't have to battle like that. So many of us treat sickness like we are not saved. As saved people, as children of God, there are certain things that do not apply to us. We have the ability to live above. But when sickness comes, it's like, okay, what do I do? Well, I don't believe in, you know, drugs, so how can I get around this sickness in the natural? Well, vitamin C is a good one. I've always heard vitamin C is good. And I just need to sleep a bunch because sleep's always really good for you. And those are all things that are in the natural that are fine. But none of those are the supernatural. And we have access as children of God to the supernatural. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we live in this world, we don't war after the flesh. We do things differently here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, of this world, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, so when I read the first part of this, I think bazookas in the spirit. He says, you've got mighty weapons that can destroy strongholds. So I'm like, Lord, I need this. I'm ready for the next verse because I need this bazooka in the spirit to come against these strongholds. And then let's look what he says. What are those weapons that are mighty and can pull down strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not what I expected when I think of spiritual bazookas. But according to the Lord, He said, when you change the way you think, that is a spiritual bazooka. When you change the way you think, when you take every thought captive and say, wait a minute, does that line up with the Word of God? It says, bring it to the obedience of Christ. Wait a minute, is that something Jesus would do? Is that something Jesus said? Does that line up with Scripture? And if I take every thought captive and I choose to think on the things that are from the Word of God, according to Scripture, that's a mighty weapon that can tear down strongholds. Okay, Romans 12:2. Another one here that we're going to look at, Romans 12:2. And it says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Okay, that's a tall order. Hopefully you're going to tell us how, Lord, because that seems impossible. You know, we are who we are. You know, Popeye, I am who I am. He says, no, you can be transformed. And I'll tell you how. By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It literally says your whole entire person, that's what the word transformed means, can be changed by changing your thoughts. by dwelling on the Word of God, we can change our mind. I'm going to go back to one of the other verses, Isaiah 26:3, and if we bring it up in the NLT, I like it in the NLT. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, or you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." And I think of the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." One of the dangers that we can have as Christians who understand the connection between sin and sickness is to focus all of our attention on the sin and not on Jesus. Our response to sin ought to be, "Lord, I want nothing to do with that. Forgive me. I'm moving on." And then when we realize how amazing the Lord is, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, all the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hebrews 12 talks about fixing your eyes on Jesus. Talks about for the joy set before him, how he endured the cross. That our goal is to fix our mind, to fix our eyes, to fix our thoughts on Jesus. I want to look at one more verse. Joshua 1:8. Joshua is giving instructions just before the children of Israel are getting ready to cross into what was promised to them for 500 years. And Joshua said, "This is how it'll work best. You can wing it and it'll fall apart. If you do this, you'll prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do," so again, not just hearing, but doing, "that you may observe to do all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." I love it how he just breaks it down simple, okay? You want to be successful, you want to conquer the promised land, there's giants out there, it's a big world. It's a tall order. Let's just do this one day at a time. Today, if you meditate on the Word of God and you do what it says, you'll be prosperous and successful. Tomorrow, meditate on the Word of God, do what it says, you'll be prosperous and successful.
You have been listening to Jeff Coulter of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Bazookas in the Spirit, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.